the message to us on this Good Friday morning is from John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. Follow as I read that to us. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "To fulfill the scripture, I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Please bow your heads with me now. Our Father, how can we not but bow in complete adoration, submission, dependence to you in thankfulness for what you have done. Father, when we reflect upon the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we are immensely privileged and immensely blessed. And Father, we pray that as we consider these words, "It is finished," that it will penetrate the deepest recesses of our souls, that it will never, ever leave us, that it will always be there to remind us of this great reality of what Jesus has done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is finished. Of all the famous sayings ever spoken in history, this must surely be one of the greatest and profoundest. J.C. Ryle, the famous and well-known minister of the 1800s, said this: "Such a word spoken on such an occasion by such a person at such a moment, just before death, contains depths which no one has ever completely fathomed." Well, we'll probably never be able to completely comprehend it, but that doesn't mean that we can't grasp it and treasure it. How could we not adore the Savior for having said, "It is finished," after all that he has suffered and succeeded in? Dear brothers and sisters, these words from our Savior's lips need to be engraved into our hearts so that we can keep them there and cherish them often, so that we can base our faith and build our lives upon it. But what does it mean, "It is finished"? And what are the implications of it for us? We'll look at these two questions this morning. Firstly, then, the meaning of the word "It is finished." In Greek, it's only one word. It's the word tetelestai. It sounds great, doesn't it? Tetelestai. What does it mean? It has been finished, completed, accomplished. Jesus has finished the work he came to do. He completed it in the past, and the effects and the results of it continue into the future and for all eternity. In other words, tetelestai means mission accomplished. What mission? Several times in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the work that his Father sent him to do. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." In John chapter 5, verse 36, he told his persecutors, "But the testimony which I give is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, that very works I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me." And then in John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus prayed to the Father, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Dear children and dear adults, can you see how committed Jesus was to finishing and completing the work which his Father gave him to do? That was his mission. That was his agenda. That was his focus. Jesus came to do the work the Father gave him to do. You cannot read the Gospel of John and not be struck by the fact that Jesus did exactly as his Father commanded him to do. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. He only spoke what the Father taught him. He only did what the Father showed him. Dear friends, Jesus kept the law and will of God completely and fulfilled it perfectly. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Talking about his crucifixion, this was at the heart of his mission. Jesus became the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, in exact fulfillment of Scripture, just as the Father had determined. Let's recap what happened in those 24 hours before Jesus said, "It is finished." On the Thursday evening, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, shared the Passover meal with them, identified his betrayer, and prophesied about his denier. Then, after he taught his disciples many amazing things, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, probably for about 3 hours or more. This included his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. And it included him praying to the Father, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me, yet not as I will, but your will be done." Then in the middle hours of the night, he was betrayed by his close friend Judas, arrested by a company of armed men. Then Jesus was denied by Peter, interrogated by the high priest, abused by the officers, and sentenced to death by the Jewish high council. Just after the break of dawn, Jesus was put on trial before Pilate, the Roman governor, and also Herod, the ruler. The Jewish religious leaders accused him fiercely, and they brought false witnesses against him. But neither Pilate nor Herod could find any fault in him. He did nothing deserving of death. But to please the malicious mob, Pilate released Barabbas the murderer, and he had the innocent Jesus flogged almost to death. But that didn't satisfy the religious leaders. They wanted death. And they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Even Pilate, eventually Pilate handed him over to be crucified. After Jesus was accused and condemned by his own people and mocked and tortured by the Romans, he was paraded and humiliated in public as he carried his cross to the point and place of execution. The place was called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. There Jesus was crucified between two prisoners, one to his left, the other to his right. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And the soldiers cast lots for his garments. It was about the third hour, that is 9 o'clock in the morning. Above his head was the inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, as if that was his crime. During the next 3 hours, people stared at Jesus as he hung on the cross in agony and shame. Some shook their heads, others blasphemed. The religious leaders sneered at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ. Then the soldiers mocked him. Even the criminals beside him made fun of him. But then the one criminal repented, and Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to her, Woman, behold your son. And to his disciple he said, Behold your mother. And at that point they left. Suddenly darkness covered the land. For 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that's from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was total darkness. It was as if God turned off the lights so that the fullness of the fierceness of his wrath could be poured out on his beloved son. And at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Knowing that all was now finished, he said, I thirst. And after he had received sour wine, for no other reason except to fulfill Scripture, he said, It is finished. And with that, he bowed his head in reverence, and he gave up his spirit, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus didn't rest until all this was done. He didn't leave one jot or one tittle of the law undone of what he should have done. He offered full and flawless obedience. And then, as a spotless lamb, he offered himself as a sacrifice in our place to pay the price for all of our sins. It is finished. Tetelestai. It's interesting that the word tetelestai has been found on papyri receipts for taxes. When people's taxes were paid in full, their receipt was stamped with the words tetelestai. God's law requires no more payment, no more sacrifices needed, and no other sacrifice for sin will ever be accepted. It is finished. It's over and done with. When Jesus offered his life as a sacrifice for our sins, and he completed the work that his Father sent him to do, he rightfully cried in a loud voice, It is finished. This wasn't a cry of despair or defeat. It was a cry of achievement and accomplishment. It was a declaration of victory and triumph. The work that Jesus completed on the cross and that he celebrated at his resurrection is a great and glorious success. Thankfully, Jesus cried out, It is finished. This brings a huge sigh of relief in heaven and on earth. Think about it. All the believers who died before Christ got into heaven on the basis of the redemptive work that Jesus Christ still had to come and do on the cross. Imagine what would have happened if Jesus failed in his mission. All of these believers would have been deported out of heaven straight into hell. It's a huge relief for us on earth as well, is it not, who believe in Christ. Jesus' finished work on the cross gives us comfort and assurance for this life and for the one to come. This brings us to the second part of the sermon this morning, the implications of Jesus' finished work. What are the implications of the fact that Jesus finished the work that his Father gave him to do? What are the implications that he went all the way to the cross to get it done? The results are massive and magnificent, and we can't possibly cover them now. But I'll mention three, and we'll mention another one when we take communion together. Firstly, the first implication is only Jesus' sacrifice can save us. Now, to help us grasp this, listen to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. When Jesus appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The point is this: to cover our sins and to save our souls, the blood of an animal presented by a sinful priest in a temple on earth will not do. What is required is the sinless high priest to present his own blood in the temple in heaven. Dear friends, that is exactly what Jesus did through his death, resurrection, ascension, and session. Session is the word we use for Jesus' rule in heaven as we speak. We need to know and understand this. There's nothing we can do to make up for our sins. No sacrifice we can bring, no good work we can offer, can pay for our sins or put us right with God. We can't earn or deserve salvation. We can't work our way to heaven. Dear boys and girls, salvation is a free gift from God that He can offer based on the finished work of His Son. If we're going to have salvation, we're going to have to receive it from Christ who paid the price. That's it. There is no other way. If you've never done this before, why don't you do it today on this Good Friday? Don't waste your time trying to come up with some sacrifice that will get you over the line. That's never going to happen. So quit trying. It's much better to turn to Christ with all your sin and all your shame. The whole lot of it. His perfect sacrifice covers it all. It is finished. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 tells us, Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, think about the implication of this. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he paid for all your sins, past, present, and future. Now, it's easy to believe that Jesus paid for our sins that we've committed up until the time we got converted. But do you, dear Christian, believe that the sins that you have committed since and will still commit, Jesus is paid for. Do you feel guilty for doing what you shouldn't have done in the last week? For example, do you still feel condemned for losing your temper or falling for temptation? How should you deal with it? We should confess our sins, but then we should hasten to remind ourselves that Jesus paid for it on the cross. It is finished. Often, God is far more willing to forgive than we are willing to receive His forgiveness. A great way to accept God's forgiveness in Jesus is to thank Him. Thank Him in your prayer and thank Him in your song. And make a point of telling other people of Jesus' forgiveness towards you. And when Satan comes and reminds you of your sin, then tell him this: it is finished. Jesus paid for all my sins once for all. End of discussion. Thirdly, shortly after Jesus said, "It is finished," the curtain of the most holy place of the temple tore in two from top to bottom. Luke tells us this. What's the significance? The answer is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. And this is the answer. Through His finished work, Jesus dealt with our sins to reconcile us with God, the Father. And He has opened up the way for us to enter into God's presence. It is finished. If you rely on Jesus' sacrifice this morning, then nothing prevents you from entering God's presence and enjoying fellowship with Him. You don't have to wait for the Day of Atonement, which only came once a year, and which only gave the high priest access into God's special presence. For every single believer in Christ, you can enter into God's presence every day when you meet with other Christians for worship. You are entering His presence right now. What is more, you can commune with God every day when you read the Word and you pray. What does this tell us about God? God wants to meet with us. He wants to meet with us, to bless us. God has time for us. Children, God has time for you. But the question is, do we have time for Him? In our busy schedules, do we make time daily, weekly to enter into God's presence? Do you have a standing appointment with your God every week to come and come into His presence and have fellowship with Him and with His people? Something that came at an immense cost to Christ and which is totally for free to us. Let us close. Dear friends, it is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, He finished the work that His Father sent Him to do. His perfect and complete sacrifice has huge implications and benefits for every single person who would trust in Jesus. Only His sacrifice can save us. Only His sacrifice can remove all of our sins, and only His sacrifice can reconcile us to the Father and give us free access to Him. When Jesus said, "It is finished," He declared victory. Victory over sin and Satan, and victory for you and I who trust in Jesus. Let us rejoice and echo the words, "It is finished." Let's pray. Our Father, how could we not but adore you and thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ? There is nothing that we can add. There is nothing that needs to be added. The work is done. The mission is completed. We can come into the kingdom of God, have relationship with the eternal God, walk with His Son, and have fellowship with Him for all eternity. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus and what He has done on the cross. In His name we pray. Amen. Before we celebrate communion together this morning, let us sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."